You're about to experience the fastest 2 hours in radio history.
I'm down. Hold this.
From now till 11, it's a whole new world of entertainment with Steak Shapiro and Sandra Golden.
So freaking epic excited.
Get ready, Atlanta. We're coming at you. It's the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, here's Steak and Sandra.
And we are off on a Thursday morning. Steak and Sandra, the Steakhouse. So great to be in studio because we've been at Flowery Branch 4 consecutive shows. And that was nice.
It was nice, yeah.
It's nice, though, to be at Colony Square in the friendly confines of the 92.9, the Game Studios, and seeing Oren face-to-face and enjoying what was a great first week technically on the air, a couple of days left. But what a setup at Flowery Branch. That was cool.
It was a lot of energy. First time I've been there in 3 years. And this, well, being the flagship, I mean, you get the VIP treatment. It's awfully nice.
That was super fun.
And let me tell you something.
Yes.
The rave reviews that I heard from people that I haven't heard from in years regarding the interview with Michael Vick and what a great job you did with that. And just Michael just being so, I can't really find the word that I'm looking for here.
Well, to come.
Other than to say grown up, mature, lovely, gracious, humble, all of it.
Well, the evolution of Mike Vick, and we'll talk more about him. We'll hear some cuts from the interview yesterday that has gone kind of viral in terms of some sites and some things he talked about. But when you think about where he came from, the background that he was, you know, born into with a daddy that was not good to him, to say the least. You all know the stories about how, you know, his father basically buried him when he was going through all that stuff with the cover of the AJC. Also coming from one of the worst neighborhoods in America, Newport News. Also struggling so much with even talking to the media to be in a position that he is today, reflective. Kind of a very deep thinker and gracious. And it was really cool stuff. Yep. How was your Wednesday night?
It was excellent. I went to this little restaurant, Pastavino, over on Peachtree. It's by the Treehouse, that little area over there. It's in the strip center.
Yes.
So that was nice and delicious. And then I just bellied up and let's get our Braves on. And it was a lovely, happy evening.
Yeah.
How about you? Well, you had a very busy day yesterday.
Well, yeah, I was in Villa Rica right after the show. I was like, oh, I'm just going to pop over to Villa Rica.
It's so close.
Yes. I had to speak to the business community. We're doing a lot of work on the restaurants in Villa Rica and that community. And I was filming last night in downtown Villa Rica. But I didn't know it was 90 minutes to leave Flowery Branch. Because I don't know, my direction is horrible. I had to literally drive through downtown Atlanta. That was an hour, and then another 30, 40 minutes to Villa Rica, where I spent the whole day. But they were super nice, and got to film some stuff for Atlanta Eats and got to speak to the business community there. And then last night, like everybody else, it was time to come home and get cozied up to the Braves.
Time for the 9 at 9. It's 9 things you need to know.
9
on the Steakhouse.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Braves win, 8-4 your final, but the real story.
And now Grissom facing a left-handed pitcher up for the third time in his big league debut.
Swing, high fly ball, deep left field, Vaughn Grissom has homered over the monster.
Well, guys, I gotta say, the scouts, they know what they're talking about with the talent that we have in the minor leagues.
What a moment that was for Vaughn Grissom, who was playing Double-A Mississippi and wasn't even there long. And then he gets into Fenway Park on a beautiful summer night against the Red Sox in a game that meant a lot, in a game that was close, and jacks it onto Lansdowne Street over the Green Monster. We're still not 100% confirmed they got the baseball, although it sounded like after the game somebody had tracked it down. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's the beauty of baseball. There's nothing like, they don't have it in the NBA. They don't have it in the NFL. The notion of getting called up from the minors, right, at any particular time. Not that guys don't have their first NFL game or their first NBA game. It's not anything like it is in baseball when you finally get the call to the bigs, to the show, right? They don't call the NFL the show
right,
or the NBA necessarily. So, what a moment. And, by the way, they needed it. because Red Sox come back, make it a 5-4 game, and then gets another hit later in the game. What a night at Fenway Park for the Braves.
Two-run home run, single, scored another run. He was hitless in his first two at-bats, and you'll hear from him a little later in the show because the pomp and circumstance that was surrounding him the whole day is just full of really cool stories that we will share with you. The Braves are off today, beginning a four-game series in the next 3 days, beginning tomorrow in Miami. So that's the other thing I thought about. Like, they just came off a massive great couple of days in Boston. Grissom's the story. And now they get a day off in Miami.
I mean, you got a day off in Boston. Woo-hoo! You saw them all bouncing around. Now you get a day off in Miami. It's not. Here's what Von Grissom's thinking. It's nice to be in the show.
I like it up here.
Yeah. Flying private, days off in five-star hotels.
Wait a minute. The Ritz at Key Biscayne. Is that what's happening here? That's where they stay. It's
you know that
unbelievable.
Rule, I'm sure the rule in baseball is similar. The rule in the NBA is that the road team, when you're on the road in the NBA, you have to stay at the highest-rated hotel in every city.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's part of the NBA players. Whoa. That's part of the bargaining agreement. So you can either stay at a St. Regis or a Four Seasons in Atlanta, right, but it has to be ranked as the top hotel.
That's sick.
And I don't think baseball is probably much different, but literally in the NBA, that's part of their deal.
Right. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
All right, I do want to update you. Mets win again, 10-2 over the Reds. Phillies win. That is seven straight if you're counting at home. They beat the Marlins 4-3. They're 11-1 over the last dozen games, so your standings remain exactly the same. Field of Dreams game is tonight. What's your interest level? Did you like it last year?
Listen, baseball, it's a slower sport. It's got problems attracting younger folks. The demographic is somewhat in trouble. They're trying to speed it up. But baseball has the tradition and the pageantry that other sports don't have. Part of it was last night watching a guy get called up, and then this whole Field of Dreams game is spectacularly cool, the way it films on television, the whole thing. So I'm all about it.
It's going to be the Cubs and Rebs, and Joey Votto and Ian Happ will be mic'd up the entire game, which yeah. I love that kind of stuff as well. Okay, so your Falcons are getting on a plane today, heading to Detroit. Make sure to listen to all the action tomorrow night right here on 92.9 The Game. Pre-game begins at 4 o'clock. Your kickoff is at 6 o'clock. Chris Goforth and Harper LaBelle will be taking you down the fun preseason game aisle. There are a couple of NFL games tonight. Do you care? Your Patriots are playing. So, yeah, you probably do care.
I'm here for the – I'm a Falcons flagship.
I know,
love
the
Falcons.
But you're from Boston, is
why
what
do
I
you
hear.
Say that?
I just feel why like you have a love for the Patriots. It's okay. Everybody's from somewhere. Just own it. Giants and the Patriots, 7 o'clock. That is on the NFL Network tonight. Titans, Ravens are at 7:30.
I kind of feel like the Falcons game is must-see TV just to watch some of these
it
kids.
It is for us.
I mean, talk about other years when I have no interest in preseason. I actually have a lot of interest in watching Marcus Mariota, watching some of these first- and second-year guys. Obviously, Drake London, first chance to see him. So I am very intrigued by Friday night.
Especially after being out there for the last 4 days or so and seeing them up close and seeing some plays and what are they going to do and how much is Mariota even going to play. So I'm looking
at least the whole first quarter, at least.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, they have – listen, nobody's played together. You only have three preseason games. Like, they have no choice. You've got to get reps for Mariota and the first team. And then, of course – what is it, next week that the dual practice happening at Flowery Branch? So that'll be another chance to play against guys not with the same color helmet. But every chance and every rep you get is going to be important.
I agree. Quickly, Deshaun Watson will start for the Browns in their preseason game. Why are they doing that? Do you have any thoughts on that? We know he's suspended at least for six. Could be the whole season. So what are they doing?
I am not smart enough to understand that.
I don't
exactly
get it.
You would think that they'd be getting their backup ready. Who's their backup on?
Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby, thank you. Yeah, you'd think they'd be getting him ready because he's going to be the guy playing. I don't know.
It makes no sense to me. Quickly, after further review, we announced – not we didn't announce. Rusty Mansell said, look at this, as they broke the story that Georgia and Florida will be able to recruit at the cocktail party because it's a neutral site. NCAA rule has a rule. They're changing the rules. Not so fast, my friend. They come back. You can't really recruit – the home team is able to leave tickets at the window for invitees. Coaches can't have interactions with them, so it's not the same.
Yeah, I don't really understand what's going on. Rusty Manziel has to explain.
Drew Butler maybe today.
Oh, yeah.
Drew's joining us at 10:20 this morning, y'all. Co-host Drew Butler joining us at 10:20.
By the way, I should mention, Deshaun Watson's dad was at practice yesterday.
I don't know if that was really Deshaun Watson's dad.
Really?
Do you think he was – tell everybody what happened.
Well, no, guy walked up to me. He said, I love your guy's show. I'm Deshaun's dad. I was a minister, Gainesville, had a fractured relationship with Deshaun and talked to me about it at length. Listen, I don't know. I got to look up what his dad looks like, but I spent... Let me just say this.
I saw him talking to you, and I thought, well, who is
it? If it wasn't his dad, then I spent 20 minutes with an imposter, because the guy's like, I'm Deshaun's dad, and he went into a number of things with me.
Are you sure you didn't say Deshaun Walker?
Did I say Watson? I meant Walker.
Yeah, there we go. One quick note. Last night, Chili Peppers concert sold out. Saw a lot of Twitter great footage. In the middle of the concert, they start doing the chop. Lights were down. Folks got their phones out. So I'm trying to figure out the reference. So if anybody's listening, you want to call us, 404-741-0929, and tell us, like, why did it start? Did the band make reference to the Braves? Or how did it happen? It's really cool.
Yeah, it was at Lake...
Truist.
Truist last night. Yeah. Lakewood.
Sold out Truist for Chili Peppers.
Lakewood last night. Chris Brown played with Lil Baby. And then tonight, The Weeknd's playing at Mercedes. What a week of music in Atlanta. Hey, when we come back, Mike Vick tells us why the NIL would have been the best of times for him at Virginia Tech, or maybe the worst of times. You didn't hear Mike Vick with the Steakhouse. Stick around a few minutes. That's coming up. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 9:22 in the Steakhouse. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden. Thanks so much for being with us on a Thursday morning as we continue to get you caught up on anything that happened last night. Have some fun later this morning with the newest member of the Steakhouse team, Drew Butler, who is just a outstanding talent, former NFL, former dog legend, and also a part of now this program. We'll talk some Georgia. Obviously, a lot happening there as they're in the middle of their camp getting ready for the season as well.
Drew also is a big part of a company that was one of the first to start around the name, image, likeness of branding and helping these kids in college.
Way in front of that. That's going to be great to have him give perspective on a wild, wild west that is the NIL. Should mention a couple of other things. Coming up, by the way, you'll hear from the Mike Vick interview, which we were lucky enough to do yesterday as Falcons training camp for us was wrapping up, and Mike Vick came through and, as you would imagine, had all kinds of media folks surrounding him. Want to mention tomorrow, Buy or Sell, which if you're not familiar with the program, we always, on a Friday, play Buy or Sell. It's one of the most fun parts of the week as part of the Steakhouse. Last week, Mike Bell did it live from Falcons, a very tough act to follow. Very tough act, but we have endeavored to do that. So tomorrow, Chipper Jones plays Buy or Sell. I will host, and you and Chipper will play together. So Chipper Jones tomorrow plays Buy or Sell. That comes your way about 10:20, 10:30. When did we do it last week, Orin? Like, I think the second to last break. Maybe 10:20 we'll do it. Did we tell Chipper when?
I think I told him 10:20.
Okay.
But we can move it.
So Chipper Jones. So maybe we'll set a precedent of different names coming in to host, to play Buy or Sell with us. But Chipper, obviously a longtime friend, especially as Sandra. We've known him a long time, and he'll participate. I am putting that together tonight.
So do you kind of massage it in the way to maybe cater to some Chipper Jones?
Yes, so I am, but then I'm wondering, like, I don't want to ask questions he won't answer. Like, one of them in my head is Buy or Sell, One Start to Win, John Smoltz. Or, John, like, Smoltz or Maddox. So, like, you think he'd answer
he'll
that?
He'll answer that. Oh, yeah, he'll answer that.
Mm-hmm. So I could say Buy or Sell, John Smoltz to win one game, best Braves pitcher. Or, you know, like Randy Johnson, that whole era also. Like, will he talk any trash about guys?
We'll see. I mean, listen.
So I got to try to put it together, yes. How revealing will he be? I don't want to get him in trouble, but I'm working on that tonight. So we'll play Buy or Sell with him coming up tomorrow. And yesterday was just a great day. We had Scott Pioli, former general manager / president of the Chiefs, director of player personnel for the Patriots, GM / assistant to Thomas Dimitroff, whatever title that was, and son-in-law. Did you know he was the son-in-law to Bill Parcells as well, Oren? Because that in and of itself.
I found that out yesterday when it was talked about on the interview.
Yeah. So I like what I said is Bill Parcells a bit of a curmudgeon?
He looks at you like you had 20 heads.
Yeah.
He goes,
you're going to make Thanksgiving real awkward, Stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, what do you think? So That's just wild. You married Bill Parcells' daughter, and then that's the guy across the table at Thanksgiving is Bill Parcells. Imagine watching the Thanksgiving Day games with him, right?
Is there a speech he gives to Scott Pioli, like, hey, you know, if you hurt my daughter, this is what's going to happen to you? Does Bill give that speech to Scott Pioli?
Well, if not, how about having to go to him to ask for her hand in marriage, right? You have to go to the dad. So that's the question we should ask. Did you go to Bill Parcells and say, I want to marry your daughter?
And was he wearing a hoodie when you asked him?
And did Bill Parcells ever have to fire Scott Pioli? How was that? I wonder how that
went.
Well,
no, I don't think that would play. I don't think they were in the same organization.
Okay.
So if you look at, he was in Cleveland with Belichick, then okay. New England. Mm-hmm. Then he ran Kansas City for a few years, and then that thing kind of cratered. And then he ends up in Atlanta for 5 years with the Falcons. So anyway, it was a great day yesterday.
Dave Archer was fantastic. Him breaking down those receivers and what makes them so special with the wingspan. Yeah, and he said, watch them when they get out in front of a defensive back. The defensive back has no shot.
Right. How are they going to – what formations are we going to mm-hmm. use to take advantage of our size with Edwards, with Drake London, and with Kyle Pitts? Big bodies. Mm-hmm. And then who's going to run in the slot in those situations as well? So, yeah, just what to watch for on Friday night right here on this radio station on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Preseason football, NFL action, first chance to see live bullets going on with these new guys. So that's all coming up as well. Mike Vick sat down with us. Always fascinating to talk to Mike. Obviously was with him and have been in this market a long time. Nothing was like Mike Vick playing for the Falcons, the biggest star in the NFL, and we all know the untimely demise and his recovery from that, coming out of prison and the games in Atlanta. The famous game when he came back and played the Falcons, and Andy Reid wanted to get a touchdown late in the game there, and we talked about that. We didn't talk about it yesterday. We've talked about it over the years. The resurrection of his career with the Eagles. But what I wanted to talk about was his time at Virginia Tech and with the Falcons. Just talk about some games and plays, because I remember every play Michael Vick was a part of vividly. I was no different than any other Atlanta fan. Michael Vick on the field, must see TV, must see live, because there'd never been a player in the history of the National Football League like Michael Vick. Never had the quarterback been the fastest player on the field. That was the case with Mike Vick. Never had you seen a running quarterback that electric, all those kind of things. But one of the questions we talked about, though, was his time at Virginia Tech. And he played 2 years there. The freshman year was a redshirt freshman year. They go to the national title game against Florida State, and they come back from a 28-7 deficit, take the lead 29-28, and then eventually lose. But we asked him, was you being a redshirt freshman always the plan?
I was very humbled when I got to college and seeing how sophisticated and complex the offense was. And my high school career, I didn't learn a lot of football, so it was imperative that I set my first right. year, because I wasn't ready to play. If they would have put me out there, it would have been a disaster. I think my first 3 weeks of practice, I probably had maybe 30 interceptions, because I was just dropping back and I wasn't reading defenses. Right. I wasn't playing with an understanding.
But they always knew you were going to redshirt.
They always knew.
Okay.
Yeah, my high school coach, he mandated that I redshirt.
First you don't play.
Because he knew I needed to be strengthened.
So freshman year, he sits. Mm-hmm. Then his second year there, he has this absolutely incredible run with Virginia Tech. He's the Heisman Trophy favorite going into his sophomore year. He gets banged up, doesn't have a great year. And then he would have liked to have stayed. But he said, I went home. I looked at the living conditions for my mama, essentially, mm-hmm. living in a horrendous community in Newport News in terms of just, you know, a lot of gang and poverty and a lot of things going on in that town. And he said, I have to go to the NFL. We also asked him about the NIL, because he would have been paid more than anybody else.
He loved being at Virginia Tech. He didn't want to go. He would have stayed 4 years, he said.
Yeah, but he felt like he had the pressure mm-hmm. to take care of his family. So how would NIL have worked? Great thing? Good thing? Maybe not so good. Here's what he said.
I think I needed to stay motivated. I needed to stay hungry at night. I needed to continue to dream.
Right.
Like, all the while I'm playing college football, I'm still dreaming. I had no money, and I was so appreciative of the little things I had at the time. But I also knew that it was a different life ahead of me if I stayed focused and stayed in the moment and didn't get too far ahead of myself. If I could just, you know, not get complacent, continue to compartmentalize everything, and have an amazing 2000 season, then everything would
fall into
full
place.
Service.
Yeah, he essentially says if you gave him $1 million and he's playing football on campus there in Blacksburg, it would have been complicated.
Yeah.
A guy that
changed
came
his priorities. That's what he was saying, Stake, of like he had to really be so humbled down to that's when he talked about I went back to my mom's house.
Right.
And he goes, we were in such poverty that, you know.
So if you hand him $1 million, because that's, you know, in this day and age, that's what that guy's going to get in terms of endorsements, right? Mm-hmm. You know, how has that changed you trying to live and be hungry and live the college experience? I mean, it's a very complicated scenario for everybody trying to navigate NIL, not to mention what it would have been like for Michael Vick. We also asked him because I was a little bit, I guess, of a sycophant. I wouldn't say that. Maybe just a fan.
No, I think Falcons fans loved it, Stake, because you were going through the stuff that we all watched and were like, how'd that happen? What happened?
Well, his most famous play in Falcons history is the 50-yard touchdown run in overtime. And it was on Fox because he had the as soon as he got in the end zone, which is what they would do on touchdowns, and how he won that game in overtime. He gave incredible appreciation to his coaching staff.
Against Minnesota.
Against Minnesota, mm-hmm. The height of the Michael Vick era. Here's him talking about the touchdown run.
Coach Reeves always told me, you know, when they play man-to-man coverage, if they're not spying, then it's nobody on you. And if they have good coverage, then why not take off and run if their backs are to you?
Yeah.
And it wasn't about just taking off running. It was just great coaching.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't drop back, look down the field, and take off and run. It was they playing you in man-to-man coverage with no spy. If they do that
right.
continuously while everybody's running down the field.
Right.
He's like, I'm going to send everybody on goals, and if nobody guards you,
they told you that.
Run behind them.
Yeah, essentially – I don't know how you don't have a spy on Michael Vick. That I don't understand. But essentially, it's like, send everybody deep. If there's no spy, the middle of the field's going to be open, and we want you to take it and take off, which is exactly what he did. And then, of course, the two safeties run into each other. I do want to mention one thing he asked us to do this, because he was talking about Sean Jefferson and Brian Finneran, how slow they both were.
Yep.
So Finneran was not on the field at the time. It was Darren Shiverini. Anybody remember that name? He was a backup receiver. Brian said he had a case of the runs. Can we say that? Was not on the field. So when Michael said those two guys. Either way, Shiverini, Jefferson, Finneran, not to be confused with Jerry Rice. So the point by Michael was
funny.
Those guys needed to get downfield faster. But anyway, it was great to talk to Michael Vick about all kinds of stuff.
Go to the app. You can listen to the entire interview from yesterday. It's so easy. Odyssey app and then punch in 92.9.
When we come back, let's head up to Boston. Let's talk about Boston. I don't know what happened. The Sox last night got beat pretty good. Who was that kid? What's his name? Grisham? Never heard of him. Why baseball is the most magical sport in the world. And we learned it again last night. This is The Stakehouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is The Stakehouse. My name is Steak. That's Sandra. Thanks so much for being with us. Good morning, Tanidra Batiste. Good morning to you. Thank you for the update.
I don't think she's listening.
She's not listening to us.
Tanitra.
We're just saying good morning to you. We're just saying good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Good morning. I'm already into the 10 o'clock hour getting ready for that sports flash.
See how she, wow. She produces
so
and she writes it. She produces.
So
she does
focused.
It all over there, Steak.
Yeah.
Yes.
How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you. It's good to see you guys. It's just more energy and more flavor when you guys are here as
that's
opposed
so
to me
sweet.
Like talking to you guys or listening to you from Flowery Branch.
Right.
So, yeah,
you like to see. Well, Sandra's so bouncy in the morning too, isn't she?
It. Yeah, she gives me energy because real talk, I'm like not a morning person.
Right.
Like I don't like her morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She don't like me morning. Uh-huh. So you guys give me the energy to
so
kind of
Sandra
push.
Either is so refreshing or so incredibly annoying.
A
right?
little bit it's of both because I bounced in here and I was with John and Hugh and I was like, good morning, y'all. And they were like, what?
What's going on here?
Stop it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So,
Folly.
Well, I'm on the side of it's refreshing for me.
Yes.
We love you, Denitra. You're very good at what you do.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
So she's been playing the cuts all morning. Obviously, mm-hmm. a lot of baseball to talk about this morning. And listen, all the baseball gods were in play last night. You know, obviously, the injuries the Braves have gone through, the second base position, and I'm just going to raise my hand and say I was very happy to see the Robinson Cano thing blow up because a lot of folks are not comfortable. You talk about a guy that has had a tangled web in the majors, and Robinson Cano is not the kind of Brave that I think fits into that clubhouse. And, you know, they experimented in a desperate situation, but I was happy they released him, and I was happy to say let's give a young guy a chance, not a guy that's a two- or three-time cheater in baseball, and put him in that scenario at you know, whatever, however old he was, too, had been around the block a few times. So, obviously, the injury the other night.
Orlando Arcia.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That Orlando Arcia suffers. You don't know what exactly they're going to do. They're talking about grabbing guys, you know, that potentially are getting released from other teams, and then all of a sudden you get word that Vaughn.
But no one is saying Vaughn Grissom. No one's saying. And
well, obviously, if you look at the beginning of the year, that's the last guy you think is going to be playing second base at Fenway Park in August.
You ain't kidding. And y'all that you Braves fans know this, even at spring training, no one's talking about Vaughn Grissom, even on the backfields. It just wasn't a headline until it was.
Yeah, and then he just starts to move his way up through the ranks. He wasn't at Double A Mississippi, but what, how many at bats? Like 50 at-bats total?
Yeah, because they moved him from High A Rome to Mississippi quickly.
Yeah.
And then it was game on.
And then you're kind of like, listen, let's just hold on here and see if he can do anything for us. And the reality was that it was just one of those baseball moments. They talked to his parents during the Bally's broadcast.
With Kelly Krull.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kelly goes in there and talks to his folks. Mom really talks. Dad doesn't say much. So you get to get a little bit. I mean, listen, the folks on the TV side are like, couldn't work out any better, right? So you get the proverbial now, which is now every local broadcast does this with somebody's first game and first at bat. They find the parents in the stands. They bring the camera up there. They have the reporter sit down right next to the mom or the dad. They wax poetic about the sacrifice it took and how proud they are. Maybe you get some tears, although mom didn't cry last night, Mrs. Grissom. She just was very excited, talked about when she got the call.
Well, she was exhausted. Did she go into that and on how it all went down?
Yeah, and they got the call the night before, and her son could barely talk.
It was like midnight, though, the night before. So
yeah.
They're like, what's going on?
We
got
to get to Boston.
Yeah.
We got to find our way to Boston. And then all of a sudden, next at bat, this happens.
And now Grissom facing a left-handed pitcher up for the third time in his big league debut. Swing, high fly ball, deep left field. Vaughn Grissom has homered over the monster.
Well, so there is a moment in time. He doesn't just go yard. He goes over the monster onto Lansdowne Street, right? And the bat flip, I mean, I saw a little shade thrown at him on social. Did you see any of that?
I did.
Yeah.
I liked it. Bro, I like his swag.
Dude, it was, I mean, I got to tell you, if you're going to hit your first major league home run between hitting it at Fenway, hitting it over the monster, and then having the bat flip, that's real, bro.
Can't write it.
That's
make this
real.
Stuff up. Yeah.
So after the game, the question was, of course, what was going through your mind as you're rounding the bases?
I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel one thing. No, I hit it. I literally blacked out until I saw my first base coach, and we made locked eyes, and I just started laughing. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this actually paid off. I was just super shocked. It was just, what a moment, you know? I didn't know what to think except, wow.
I blacked out. One of those moments. And I've heard folks say on both sides, unbelievable news or something wonderful happening or hearing something devastating where you literally get lightheaded.
You lose your mind,
right?
Yeah.
We get lightheaded. You kind of don't for a second know where you are. That's exactly what happened to him. Although he seemed to know where he was. I mean, he knew that sucker was gone to flip like right away. You know, act like you've been there before. He certainly did. And then, of course, all these things in baseball, unlike the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, even MLS, where there's traditions, there's history, there's pageantry. One of them is, which many ball players enact, is you give the silent treatment for the first ever home run back in the dugout. So he gets down the dugout steps, and nobody's giving him a high five, and he's like all geeked up, walking up and down, and nobody's doing anything.
First of all, I got the silent treatment and stuff. I was surprised by that. I walked in. I was like, oh, this is what happened. So I just get down to the end of the dugout, and then I just waited. I was like, dude, they better be coming soon. They better not, wait long with this because I'm too excited.
Giddy. He's got a smile worth $1 million. The dimples, the hair.
Did you see when they came and they took his hat off because they wanted
so adorable
right in the middle of the interview? I thought they were going to dump something on him in the middle of that. That's the Bally post game with
Kelly Krull, who, by the way, did a fantastic job pregame. Also on her Twitter, she was in the dugout watching. So Michael Harris then takes Vaughn out to the Green Monster, and I guess there's a place you go in and you sign your first time. So we took him and they did that.
Inside the Green Monster, for the last 100 years, folks have been signing their names, and you see the folks that have been through there. There's a little door that you can come in and out of.
So they talked about that and that giddy. It was giddy from the jump, and the coaches were sitting there watching it all, and they're like, what you think? And when you talk about the bat flip, if you hear him talk after, he goes, listen, I failed at my first two at-bats. And he goes, I'm going to do this. Like, he is a great,
amazing.
Yeah, I like
Wait till he gets his first at-bat.
Did it bother you that he did it?
No, it was like, listen, baseball cannot afford to have this kind of arrogance and kind of like, you know, respect the game mentality. You're never going to get young people to buy in. And you want young people? Look at that kid. By the way, he was a 11th rounder, 2019. Mm-hmm. He was going to go to Florida. He got a scholarship. Braves give him a signing bonus. He decides to go to the big. So it's been a quick rise. 21 years old. 21 at 17 days. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
He's the youngest player in major. 270 days. Youngest player in Major League history for a debut where he steals a base and hits a homer in his big league debut. Brian Snicker says, I like the kid's energy, no doubt.
I never had any, I mean, it never seemed, I used to just like was a kid out on the playground pretty much, just having a ball.
Yeah.
I think he said it's genuine. I think that guy really likes to play baseball.
Yeah. He does.
Just the energy that you know, the team was down coming out of New York. And then, you know, even the win last night where you lose Arcia for the year or two nights ago.
Yeah, you have to go 11 innings for a win.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you blow the lead and you blow it. And then the Phillies won't lose. They're 11-1 their last 12. The Mets haven't lost. They're 15-4 since the All-Star break. And you're kind of – this may be the kind of energy going into Florida that you need and the kind of fun. And you saw that last night. By the way, another guy that gets back in the mix is Kirby Yates, who, they brought him up.
First time almost in 2 years. So he comes in at the bottom of the seventh with two outs. And you just need to get us out because this is after Dylan Lee gave up the 3-run home run.
Yeah, it's a 5-4 game.
There you go.
Go 5-1, 5-4, and they got guys on base. So here's Snit talking about that.
I'm so proud of him and so happy for him that the long road that he's had through this whole thing and probably ended up being perfect, just getting him in there for an out. Was going to try and get him an inning, but that probably even worked out better just to get him back out there. And
the other storyline stake is that Kyle Wright sat, they pulled him after 77 pitches. And if you go look his last few games, it bounces anywhere from 84 to 103 pitches. So then you think, well, all right, we need 9 outs.
Right.
We're up 5-1. I don't think it was such a terrible call, but Braves Twitter did not agree with me because, of course,
he
gave
was
up
dealing.
The three.
Yeah, he was dealing last night. So that almost blew up in your face. And again, they get the late insurance runs, and by the way, Grissom gets another hit as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a 2-hit night. That's when he gets the stolen base as well. I mean, listen, only baseball produces those kind of moments. I'm an enormous NBA fan. You know that. They're really, and I was at Larry Bird's first game where they had this bird that they flew up to the ceiling. It was 1980, and
Wait, what do you mean a bird that
they had
flew
like
up
a
to
seagull. That was like the big shtick. Larry Bird's first game, they had this bird, and he threw it up in the box.
Wait a minute. Hold
in the
on
rafters.
You're inside of the garden.
The garden.
And they bring in this poor seagull.
Yeah.
And what
whatever.
Do they do with the seagull?
They release it.
Oh, my
when
God.
They, my point is, you know, that was a game I wanted to be at because the hype on Larry Bird was 2 years worth as the savior. And it's...
Hi,
yeah.
PETA.
A lot of pomp and circumstance. You got a bird. That was the big... My point is, NBA debuts, they don't have the pageantry and the sexiness around all that, unless you have this poor bird that you released
to
the
then there was this seagull.
I kid you not. I'm going to look it up.
I'm going to find it.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Hey, when we come back, Arthur Smith is so feisty at practice, he decides to go after it with a fan. And a Mets player wins social media. I hate to give him credit, but man, dude.
So funny.
That is some funny stuff. It's Belly Up to the Bar when we come back. Oh, yeah, you're listening to The Steakhouse, and you're listening to your favorite sports talk radio station, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.